Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Nothing is solid. As we used to understand the word solid, it turns out everything is energy. And because that's true, old-fashioned materialist medicine turns out to be the clumsiest way to try to be healthy. This is an area where I need to be educated, and so you and I are going to be learning together. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is Carla Savetsky. Carla is a holistic healer based in New York City and specializing in women's health. She's working now in what will be, I think, mainstream healthcare once physicists catch up with the things that you and I are learning about reality even now. So we're going to sit together at the feet of someone who's already doing what our grandchildren's healthcare providers will be doing for them routinely. And I'm excited about this. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you, Roberta. It's delightful to be here with you.
Carla just did a little introduction for me, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I was trying to explore what we are learning in all of these areas. And so Carla did 5 minutes with me, and we put it at the end of one of my other podcasts. And as I got talking to her, I thought, this is a lot more than 5 minutes worth of time to be spent in trying to understand what is really a wonderful new area. Carla, tell us how you got interested in energy healing.
Wow. Well, actually, I think that alternative healing and energy was something that was always with me. I was always sensitive to the energy in spaces, meaning physical space, with people, their energy. And so I was always drawn to the realm of alternative medicine. I've always also been very interested in plants and plant medicine. But then the more practical side of me took a hold when I was in my mid-20s, and I went back and studied medicine and became a physician assistant in obstetrics and gynecology, which took me in a very different path. But this other part was always with me. And so somewhere along the way, I started into the study of herbs and flower essences and energy medicine.
Well, that's interesting. So you have a serious background then. You've worked in traditional medicine, that sort of the old-fashioned way of looking at us as material bodies.
Yes.
You have a background there. But you started out really thinking about that there had to be more than simply working on us as a mechanic works on a car?
Yes, because I always had a spiritual inclination. So even as a child, I felt that there was more. And what happened was when I went into conventional medicine, I was very excited about it. And I was very excited to work with people and to help heal. I went into women's medicine, so I felt like that was really my calling. However, it became very apparent over a short amount of time that in order to heal, in many cases, we needed to look deeper than the physical body, that disease or a lack of health was being held up in the emotional body, in the energetic body, in places, like I said, deeper than the physical. So then I needed to realize I needed to start studying things to influence those places.
Let's tie this in with what we've been discussing on these podcasts. We know that every level of reality, including this one, is all energy. We know that our minds are powerful, eternal parts of eternal mind, which continuously brings forth the universe. Mm-hmm. Our minds are very powerful. Our minds never began and never will end. So naturally, if our bodies are, if the matter of which our bodies are composed is essentially all energy, nothing of them is solid. And certainly, if you get to the level of the Higgs boson, we can start to talk about matter. But above that, there simply isn't matter. It's all energy, and we only think of it as solid. So if that's the body that we're driving around like a used Toyota, right, it's only natural that the mind driving that body has tremendous power over that body. The same energy that is your mind is continuously bringing forth the entire universe. There being no time, it didn't start the universe like a clockwork machine, but in fact, it's continuously adjusting and making the universe continuously possible. So in an environment like that, it's only natural to do, Carla, what you're doing, which is to say, now, wait a minute, given the power of our minds and given the fact that nothing really is solid, it's all energy, our minds are probably a lot more powerful in affecting our health than we ever dreamed. I mean, our emotions, I should just add, emotions are a product of our mind. I mean, we tend to compartmentalize what we are. You know, we think, then we love, and we, you know, we have other sort of aspects of our minds. It's all one. Our minds are one.
Right.
So with that little background for all of us, now tell us, what is energy healing or holistic healing?
Oh, wow.
quiz.
Yeah, gosh, my first thought is, am I the person to answer that question? You know, I think of holistic medicine as the understanding that the body, mind, spirit, that it's all connected, that it is one, and that in order to treat illness, we need to look at the whole rather than the segmented parts. So that's how I think of holistic medicine.
Okay. Now, people who come to you, do you only work with women?
Yeah. Can I just say one other thing about that, Roberta?
Of course, of course.
I'd like to make a distinction, which is the distinction between holistic medicine and integrative medicine.
Okay.
I worked for many years in an integrative medical center. You know, it was called the Center for Health and Healing. However, the integrative medical model is still very much within the medical paradigm.
Right.
And so I see it as not entirely holistic. So I just wanted to make that distinction.
Oh, yeah. Well, as I say, this is an area where I'm a complete neophyte, but I'm excited about it. The more I learn about it, which is at this point still very little, in part because of bits I've picked up in the past. For example, Bruce Lipton is one of my heroes. He is a quantum biologist, and he says that energy-based healing is as much as 100 times more effective than physical-based healing of all kinds, including things like you have a tumor, you have major illnesses. If you can get at them in an energy-based level, it is much, much more effective. So since he's one of my heroes, that impressed me quite a bit.
Right. Well, you know, the way I think of it is because then you're getting to the roots.
Yes.
Right? Because things originate on the most subtle level, and then they sort of trickle down into the most dense, i.e. the physical.
Yes. Yeah, so, that's a very good point.
Right. By the time something hits the physical, a disease like cancer, for instance, it's already been brewing for a long time, generally many years. And it started back on the level of energy, of emotion, perhaps.
And you use plants frequently as well, right, in what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So I think you were starting to ask me a question a little bit ago about, do I just do women's medicine? Is that what you were starting to say?
I did ask you the question.
Yeah. So the reason I'm bringing it back around now is because I actually do work with some men as well, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but yes, my orientation has really been in women's medicine, And I feel like my path has been around women and healing. And as women, especially, we tend to be very sensitive to energy and to
perhaps more so than men. I would
perhaps
agree.
Yeah. And so, and other life forms like the plant world. So, for instance, with hormonal issues, I find that plant medicine is really the best type of medicine. You know, looking at everything from pharmaceuticals to, because plants are still very much in tune with the cycles of nature, the cycles of light and dark, you know, the sun, you know, the sun day and night cycle, the moon cycle. And these are things that our bodies need to be in touch with in order to have healthy hormonal functioning.
I should just say, too, about plants. We think of plants as sort of living stones, living objects. Plants are not that at all. There is a 40-year-old book, plus, I think it's early, maybe 72 or even 1970, called The Secret Life of Plants.
Yeah.
This is a life-changing book for anyone who reads it. I'm amazed so few people have heard of it. I read it when it first came out, and it really was enormously influential in my even beginning to do this work seriously. Plants are energy beings as we are. They're different in nature, but they are living energy. Experiments have been done showing that plants actually can read our minds. If you are in a different room and you are thinking about harming a plant, if you attach a galvanometer to the plant's leaf, go into the other room, think, I'm going to go in and burn a leaf, you'll find the galvanometer, which is a lie detector. It registers emotional reactions, the galvanometer will have reacted at the moment you thought of doing the plant harm. Think about what that means for how powerful this connection we have is to plants.
That's it. You know, plants hold an intelligence that, number one, like you're sharing, we don't know about. But on the other hand, it's an intelligence that we've lost in large part.
Yes.
You know, and it's that intelligence that is about the cycles of nature and about the natural world.
So let's get down to the practical level. You have a practice in New York City. What is your website? We'll give it out a few times. What is your website,
right,
Carla?
My website is naturalhealingforwomen.com.
She has a beautiful website with testimonials and all kinds of information if this area interests you, especially, I would say, if you are within a convenient distance of New York, which many people are. But you also help people nationwide, right?
Actually, Robert, I need to correct you on that, which is that I've left New York City for the last year. I'm living actually in Western Massachusetts.
Are you really? Whereabouts?
I am in Northampton.
Oh, my goodness. And I went to Smith. So you and I have that in common. Well, I knew you as living in New York. So obviously I've had you on my radar for a while. Isn't that great? Mass is terrific.
It is terrific. And I'm loving it. But just to say that about 95% of my practice is remote. And I work with women all over the world.
Wow. Okay, so wherever you are, if this area interests you, this is naturalhealingforwomen.com is her website, and Carla would be happy to talk with you.
And here's the beauty of energy medicine, is that it transcends space, time and space. And
right.
So I do these energy treatments at a distance. I work with women in Australia, in France, you know, places that are very, very far from me, and the work is pretty extraordinary. It works just as well at a distance as it does in person.
Yeah, wow.
And that's the beauty of energy medicine.
So, again, naturalhealingforwomen.com. And now we're going to talk about how it actually happens. Someone who has an illness that maybe hasn't responded, or how do they typically find you? And what kind of person would come to you?
The people that I really think of as my tribe, meaning the people who are really looking for my work and needing my work, are those people who have not gotten help via the medical community or even perhaps through their healers. So I work with a lot of people who I call ultra sensitives, meaning people who are very sensitive and perhaps things like pharmaceuticals or more harsh medical treatments are not helpful for them. And I work with a lot of people who just haven't found an appropriate diagnosis. They might be in the realm of mystery disease, or they have constant pain and fatigue but don't know why. So through the work that I do, I'm also able to do a lot of the diagnostics around what's actually going on with them.
So I have a cousin who has fibromyalgia. Is that something you can help?
Yes. Yeah. So that's in the realm of, you know, even though fibromyalgia is a diagnosis, it's a bit of a diagnosis of exclusion, meaning that they don't really understand why. And oftentimes with fibromyalgia, there's also underlying hormonal issues going on or autoimmunity. So yes.
Okay, that's really interesting. So, for example, someone, what would be a recent case that you've had? Of course, no identifying details, but someone who came to you and how, what did you do and how does it turn out? People are trying to envision how this works, and I'm one of those people. So
yes,
what
absolutely.
Would be an example of what of how this works?
Yes, so because of my background as a medical person, and I'm also a trained herbalist, and I'm also a trained body worker, you know, I've done body work. And so I hold this rather large spectrum that runs all the way, as one patient once dubbed it, from the medical to the magical.
Wow. That's a range for you.
But because I hold this large spectrum, I can really, I can hold a large just spectrum of healing. Like I can tell somebody, well, you know what? That actually would be best served by surgery, for instance. So that's part of the holistic medicine. It's holding the whole. But just to say that that's not a typical case. A typical case is somebody might come to me and say, I have this fatigue. I have this joint pain. All my tests have come up negative. So they do a thorough intake. But then on the energetic realm of on the energetic side of things, my main modality are flower essences. And for people who don't know what flower essences are, they're not essential oils. Many people get them confused with essential oils, which are those very, very concentrated oils that we use for aromatherapy and smell really good.
Yeah.
So that's not what a flower essence is. What a flower essence is, it's an infusion of a particular type of flower, meaning, you know, it's the flower blossoms in water, kind of like a tea, right? But then that infusion of flower water is diluted many times, which creates a vibrational remedy.
Yes.
Right? So that's what Dr. Bach invented back in the 1930s, if you've heard of Dr. Edward Bach. But in any event, I've been using flower essences both personally and in my practice since 1998. And I, through some brilliant teachers that I have developed a way of working with the flower essences in table sessions. And with these table sessions with both physical and emotional and spiritual issues where energy actually moves in the system and things can be moved out of the system, such as trauma, early childhood wounding, anxiety, but also the way that this table work with the flower essences work is that if there's something going on, like a virus that is undiagnosed, or you've probably heard about the epidemic of chronic Lyme disease.
Oh boy, yes.
Which is, you know, so with these kinds of things, what the flower essences do is help change the vibration of the internal terrain so that those microbes no longer have it makes the internal terrain less hospitable.
Wow.
To them.
This is related in a sense to homeopathy, right?
Yes.
Because yes. just to explain to people briefly, homeopathic medicine takes a tiny amount of something that would actually produce the symptom that we're suffering from if we took it in large amounts. And what they do is, and I don't understand this, but it works, they succuss or shake it continuously diluted solutions,
right,
until there's literally nothing, not a molecule left by, you know, statistically, of whatever that original item was that would have caused the symptoms if you took it in large amounts.
Right.
There's none of it left in that water. It's just water. However, it has become energy medicine.
It's the vibration of it that's left.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So you do this with flowers? Why flowers? Why would flowers work that way?
Okay. Well, as you know, we have been using plant medicine since the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Right? So we've been using the roots of the plant, the bark, the stems, the leaves to create teas and tinctures and extracts and all kinds of things for healing. The way that I think about it, Roberta, is that the flower is like the spiritual culmination of the plant.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like the plant is taking up energy through its roots and, you know, into its leaves, its stems, and then that blossom is like the spiritual culmination of that plant, which has the greatest affinity or vibration to spirit within the plant.
Isn't that interesting?
Right? So like the roots and the, you know, those other parts, the bark and the stem, they have more of an affinity for the physical body, and the flower has more of an affinity for spirit.
That is so interesting. And do you find that this works then? What can you tell us, give us an example of someone for whom this has been helpful?
Yes, absolutely. Well, just to say, you know, like I shared, I've studied conventional medicine, I've studied herbalism, and I prescribe herbs, and that's the thing about my work. I look at the whole picture and I'll create a protocol around a person's diet, around herbal medicine, around supplements, around lifestyle modification, and also this energy piece.
Yeah,
so I'm really looking at all of the levels.
Yes.
Okay. So somebody who this has worked for. Okay. So how about this? I was working with a young woman came to me who was having a problem conceiving, and she already had a child. She has a 4-year-old daughter, but she wasn't getting pregnant, and she had gone to, to the fertility clinics, and they did all the workups and this and that. And finally they just said, there's nothing else we can do for you. You know, you're free to go adopt.
Well, did they say why she was having trouble conceiving, or they just threw up their hands?
It fell under the diagnosis of unexplained infertility, which about 60% of women with infertility fall under that category.
Uh-huh.
which means they don't know.
Lord.
And, you know, the way I see things is that, you know, pregnancy or having a child, that, you know, that whole constellation is a very, it's not just a physical act, right? That's where conventional medicine gets it wrong. It's a highly spiritual act.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about, you know, not just the body of the woman, but we're talking about this incoming spirit. We're talking about the partner's energy, whoever that is. That's part of this. So it's so, you know, there's karma, there's, you know, there's so much involved here. So in any event, I always think about it on all the levels, on the spiritual level, on the emotional level, and physically what's going on. So she was a vegetarian, and I looking at her cycles and such, I thought that that wasn't serving her at this time. And we talked about some ways that she could get some animal fats in the diet. And so that's, you know, I'm talking first on the physical level, and
right,
gave some herbs to help with the maturation of the egg as it was developing in the ovary. And I think I gave her a couple of supplements. And then, but then on an emotional level, you know, looking a little deeper, what happened in her last pregnancy, what happened with, it during her birth. And it turned out there was quite a bit of birth trauma. And there was also a very, very deep connection with a grandmother that she lost right at the same time as her daughter had been born.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of guilt around not being able to be there for her beloved grandmother. And then there was another sort of karmic piece for her around her relationship with her brother. So we were able to get in there with flower essences, both with the table work and with giving her some bottles of flower essences that I made particular formulas for her to take home and use throughout the month. And through that work, it took 4 months to work together and get the energy to move. And whereas the reproductive endocrinology clinic said, I can't help you, then she went to a naturopath for 6 months. After that time, they said, we can't help you. Your numbers haven't changed. You see, you know, in conventional medicine, even in naturopathic medicine, again, if they hold the same paradigm, it's all about the numbers.
Yes. And it's all about physical numbers. It's physical
all about
hormones.
Physical, exactly.
Yes.
Like these numbers of these hormones haven't changed.
So Carla, you gave her these essences to take home. Was she taking them like a medicine, or how was she
Correct.
To use them?
Correct. So I use them in two ways. One is that it's a bottle of... I create them here myself. I have hundreds and hundreds of flowers, and I also use gem essences. And so it's a bottle of water with a little bit of brandy as a preservative.
Yay. Let's have a lot of brandy.
And then I put the drops. I put, you know, for any bottle, maybe I'll use 5 different essences. And maybe those 5 essences might address something, like with her, something to address her sense of anxiety around whether or not this would happen, right?
Right.
Something to address the guilt that she felt around the grandmother's death and the grief. We had to move some grief out of the system.
Right.
And you know, this is a process. So like I said, it took about 4 months, to move out the grief, do some work around feelings that she had around her brother and what that meant about having a second child. And once we were able to do this work and move out these things at the same time, we were working on the physical level with some physical issues. Whereas, like I said, the reproductive endocrinologist and the naturopathic doctor both said, can't help you. Your numbers haven't changed. We went to this deeper level, moved this energy, lo and behold, she got pregnant with twins naturally.
Isn't that wonderful? What a great story.
Isn't that a great story?
Yes. I should just pause really quickly and say, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and The Fun of Staying in Touch, about how our loved ones are contacting us and we can contact them. You can learn all about my books at robertagrimes.com. And we are talking today with Carla Savetsky, who is a healer of the new paradigm. The new paradigm, which you and I are talking about, but which your grandchildren and my great-grandchildren will be learning in school, is that there is nothing solid. Everything is energy, including this universe that we see around us, which is just the lowest in terms of vibration. We think it's the lowest of at least seven levels, and apparently there are even more than seven levels of energy dimensions, which are exactly in the same place we are. Reality is very different from what physicists still insist it must be, because they hold to materialism as a fundamental dogma. That's a problem, when in fact there is nothing that's material. We aren't stuck with that, though. The physicists are, and it means that, frankly, the practice of physics by anybody who is honest and honorable has become a mess. We've talked about that, and we'll talk more about it. But meanwhile, there are people like Carla Savetsky who are going beyond what we used to think was the way to treat bodies, understanding and accepting the fact that our bodies are in fact energy, and so are our minds. It's amazing what can be done. And Carla, do you think some of this is that you've helped her to feel her attitude toward all of this, so that her mind is helping to make all of this happen?
I think it's more a question of her letting go of the fears around it not happening, you know, as opposed to sort of taking on a certain attitude.
I get it. Okay. Yeah. And what happens when someone comes to you who has, let's say, an inoperable cancer or a serious illness that traditional medicine has kind of thrown up its hands about? Do you ever see people like that who are that damaged?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy to work with people who traditional medicine have thrown up their hands around, because, you know, then oftentimes people are more willing, you see.
Yes.
I don't tend to draw people who maybe are
very, very ill,
or close to death. You know, I haven't really seen that. Not that I wouldn't work with it, but just that I haven't really seen it. But I feel like, and I know stories of, and I know people who have turned around those kind of situations. So I absolutely believe that, you know, anything is possible when we shift those inner pieces. I have no doubt about that at all.
One of the things that we're learning is that some Eastern forms of Eastern medicine are really far more advanced than ours. For example, we're learning that acupuncture seems to work on our energy bodies and can be remarkably effective. And I can't pronounce it. Qigong medicine, Chinese energy-based medicine, is remarkable, in which practitioners are able, with their minds, to do things like make tumors disappear. I have a CD, which I found difficult to believe, but its provenance is without question. I know that it came from people who really know what they're doing, and they had been fascinated to go to China and study Qigong medicine. And this was a woman allowed to, I think, just even sit down in a little room with practitioners. They took a picture of the tumor using ultrasound that she had in her belly, and then they were they kept the ultrasound going while this practice, I don't even know what they did, chanting. The practitioners of this medicine were in the room, and you saw it start to get wavery, this the the body didn't get wavery, but the tumor did.
Yeah.
And it sort of blinked into and out of existence a little bit, and then it disappeared. And she walked out of that room perfectly healthy. They do this in China.
That's wild. That's wild. There's all kinds of techniques. There's a fascinating practice called Tong Ren that's come into being in about the last, not so long, like 12 years or something, where you get the same effects as you do with acupuncture, but without any needle touching you. And I participated in this.
Wow, that's interesting.
Very interesting. There have been studies done that tumors shrink and all kinds of... The teacher that was leading the class that I was in, it was the only... He was on death's door with AIDS, and this brought him back to life, and it was the only thing that helped him. And now he's completely leading a normal life.
Well, so tell me how they would do acupuncture without needles. That's a little hard to imagine. What were they doing?
It's actually done in a group. And the leader has a little, it's like a little doll, or like it's like a little replica of a human form. And he uses a kind of like mallet to tap on different areas of the body. And as he's tapping on them, he talks about what he's tapping on. Like he'll say, like, I'm now in the frontal cortex, and this is the area that, you know, opens up for red blood cells to renew. Or I'm just making this up, Roberta, but just
right.
You know, like he goes through all the different meridians in the body and explains what they do. And as he's talking, the people in the group have their eyes closed and are just relaxing, and it feels incredibly rejuvenating as he goes through all these areas. And people report that afterwards, whatever they came in with oftentimes is lifted.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And what we're really saying is that there are many kinds, apparently, of methods to use energy to keep our bodies healthy or to cure problems our bodies may have. We're only not even probably touching the surface of what is going to be a whole new way to look at maintaining our body's health once it's become established that nothing is solid, that your car that you're driving around, this gradually getting rustier vehicle that you're driving around, which you're going to discard anyway quite happily and before long because your life is eternal and you'll get sick of it. While you're in it, the way to fix it, if it gets broken or to keep it running well, is energy. It's not going to a doctor to go under the knife or to put harsh chemicals in your body or whatever it is you're doing. It's all energy. So there are going to be amazing ways within 50 or 100 years for us to use energy to gently and beautifully to keep these bodies going for as long as we need them here.
Yes, yes. You know, and the way that I think of it is that, you know, if we were really intelligent about the way that we practice medicine, we would use the appropriate tool for the appropriate malady, you know? So, you know, there's just different types of remedies for different types of situations. And, you know, sometimes an aspirin might be the perfect thing, you know, but oftentimes, a pharmaceutical is not the most helpful thing, but that's what everybody knows and what everybody goes to, and certainly what doctors go to. They don't have these other tools.
But you have a background in traditional medicine, so to some extent, you're using what's useful from traditional medicine, right?
Yes.
I know you can't prescribe, but you probably must be connected with people who can.
If yeah, I do. No, physician assistants do prescribe, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yes, we do. Currently, I'm not in a medical role, though. I've gone full-time into my natural healing for women business. But in that capacity, I did prescribe.
How fascinating.
Yeah.
So there will then be a practitioner of the future, because I think people that we think of as physician's assistants are more and more going to be doing what we what we used to have a full-fledged medical doctor doing, but instead, you know, healthy, taking care of healthy people doesn't require that you spend 8 years in or 10 years getting ready. It requires that you be prepared to treat people on a much simpler level. So I think physician's assistants are the wave of the future anyway, and that's as it should be.
Yeah.
So all right. So what kind of thing would someone come to you with typically? Obviously, trying to get pregnant would be one. But what would be other things that women would come to you to be treated for?
Women and slowly, quite a few men are eking into it as well. Are coming to me often with sort of mystery illness, like I spoke about earlier, where they don't have a diagnosis, but they know that something's wrong. And so oftentimes the manifestations of this can be things like fatigue, joint pain, other kinds of pain, muscular tremors, maybe slight fevers. And, you know, oftentimes there may be a virus that's not diagnosed. We talked a little bit about chronic Lyme. Uh-huh. And oftentimes, you know, another area that conventional medicine is really poor at working with are hormonal issues.
Yes.
Right? So women come to me for all kinds of hormonal issues, you know, anything from, you know, painful periods to ovarian cysts to perimenopausal or menopausal issues.
So most of the people who come to you have these kinds of routine things. I sort of think of it as a natural part of being female, that you might have painful periods or trouble with hot flashes or that sort of thing. But you're saying you can help those things too.
Absolutely. And also, as women, when we have quote unquote female problems or any kind of chronic issues in the pelvic area, I would say 99 times out of 100, there are deeper levels at which we can work around emotional and energetic issues. So can the doctor put you on birth control pills? Yes. Is that going to be a Band-Aid and sometimes make symptoms go away? Yes. But does it heal? No.
How interesting. What a good example that is, because you're right. If you're especially speaking as someone who went through menopause, that's sort of what they do. They'll immediately put you on hormones.
Now menopause is a really good example, actually, Roberta, because a woman going through the transition from reproductive hormones to post-reproductive or menopausal, okay, we can follow those hormones and see the physical event that's taking place. However, the menopausal transition is a deeply spiritual transition in the life of a woman in that she goes through a very profound change.
Yes.
And in that change, her entire energy shifts. I think about it as like sort of going through a tunnel. And as we're going through that tunnel, we have a lot of symptoms. And based on different, perhaps emotional things that we're carrying, such as grief, such as rage, such as, you know, different things that we may not have worked through, those things can very much show up in our symptoms. Meaning that symptoms will be worse when we have underlying emotional issues that that have not been cleared. And then when she gets that other side of that, you know, through that tunnel, it's almost like she's the butterfly that's gone, you know, that's emerged from the chrysalis into this new energetic being, really.
I think that's something that people, especially young women, don't sufficiently appreciate. On the other side of menopause is a whole new life, and it's really, I think, just wonderful. I mean, I have a ton of energy, ton of enthusiasm for things. Yeah. I really felt liberated. I took to calling menopause God's gift to women. That's the reward you get for living that long.
Well, that's wonderful.
So if you were going to recommend to people how to use the insights you have in just living their regular lives, I mean, I don't really have a reason to call Carla that I can give to her, but I just would like to make my body feel better. I'd like to feel better myself. What's your recommendation for healthy living?
Okay. Well, let me first just say that if anybody feels drawn to my work, even if they don't necessarily need to call or have anything specific going on, go to my website, naturalhealingforwomen.com, and sign up for my newsletter, and you'll get weekly such advice.
Wow, great.
About healthy living and just about issues that are coming to the surface, anything from digestive issues to energetic issues and emotional issues that are prevalent for women at different phases of life. So everybody go in and sign up for my newsletter and my events.
Naturalhealingforwomen.com. All right. Hopefully people will do that. I'm going to do that myself. That's great.
Great. And then you're asking, well, what's just some advice for healthy living?
Yes.
Wow. Now that's a broad question. You know, I believe that the basis of all healing is truth. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. It's about getting honest with ourselves about what is and is not working in our life, what's become no longer tolerable in our lives. Because we could be having the best diet in the world and exercise every morning, but if we're in a, be it a work situation or a relationship or something else that feels intolerable for us, constrictive for our spirit, for any reason, that's going to contribute to ill health. So if I were to give people one recommendation about healthy living, I would say it would be number one, becoming honest with yourself about what is and is not working in your life. Being on any level, and then, you know, baby steps, taking steps toward towards reaching out for support around making changes.
Don't be a soldier.
That's right.
Remember that your mental and physical health are extremely important. If what you're worried about is making sure your family is cared for, or whatever it is that you think you need to sacrifice yourself for, just remember you've got to keep your instrument sharp and strong. And the only way to do that is to take care of your body and your mind. That's wonderful, wonderful advice.
And just to say that in the age of the internet, there's all kinds of wonderful resources available online. For instance, I myself in my business have a complimentary 30-minute complimentary consult for people who are interested in learning more. And in those consults, I give as much individualized support that I can. So there's many things like that. If you look around online, healers and different people you may be attracted to. And I say, just go for it. Reach out for support.
So if someone were interested in taking you up on that, they would just contact you through your website, naturalhealingforwomen.com?
Exactly.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good offer. Anything that's free is a wonderful offer. And if this is such a new area for us, we're so used to the notion we've got to go to the guy in the white coat or it doesn't work, that right. It's just an area to start to explore if you've become frustrated with what the white coats can do. And I'm really sorry that we're coming to the end of our time. This is just the beginning, I think, for us all opening our minds and opening our hearts to the possibilities around us when we come to understand that everything is energy. When we look at everything as energy, it really does change everything. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never begin. You never will end. And when you fully grasp what that means, it's going to change everything in your life. If you want to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our One Reality, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on iTunes. Just search there for SeekReality.com. I'm excited also about next week's guest. Rob Schwartz is an acknowledged expert in the critically important field of life planning. This is another thing no one ever talks about, but it's essentially important. All of us plan our lives before we're born, and we also plan into our lives all the bad things. This is why bad things happen to good people. They were planned into that lifetime by the person, himself or herself, as an opportunity for spiritual growth. Rob Schwartz is going to talk about that next week, and he's also going to talk to us about how better to use those experiences to really get the best possible results in this lifetime, because who wants to keep coming back? If we have to only go through it once, that's better than going through it twice. You're going to want to better understand this crucially important field where we're really only just starting to scratch the surface, so please join us next week. Again, this week, Carla Savetsky has been talking with us about the brand new, beautifully developing field of using energy to keep ourselves healthy or to heal us if we've gotten off track. Your mind is such amazing, infinitely powerful energy. It's not wrong to say that your mind is of the same source that continuously brings forth the universe. That's important. Wow. Knowing how powerful you are, isn't it time to learn how to harness the energies that you have yourself to give yourself your own best life? But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our One Reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.